When we are designing our campaigns, we don't specifically try to say that we're trying to break the purity taboo or like really focus on that. We kind of take the approach of just pretend that it's not taboo anymore, because it shouldn't be.
That's Meng Shui, and this is the On Design podcast. Hi everyone, and welcome to the new episode of the On Design podcast. I'm your host, Justina Green. I'm an illustrator, and I've also spent the past 10 years in the design industry in various roles. On this podcast, every single week, we speak to the most exciting people in design right now. We learn what inspires them, how they work, and how they see the world. And I'm super excited that in today's episode, I speak to Meng Shui, who's the creative director at Thinks. And if you don't know Thinks, it's a period-proof underwear brand. And in our conversation, we discuss Meng's approach to branding and shaping things into the brand it is today. And I would describe it as bold, taboo-breaking, normalizing conversations around periods, and most importantly, is really inclusive. And it's a brilliant conversation. And if you think you might not want to listen to each other about periods, I'd say don't worry. It's just about so much more than that. It's about normalizing things that lots of people go through, yet are taboo in the public eye or are not talked about in that kind of normal, approachable way, making them more difficult sometimes to understand. And, you know, in this podcast episode, it's about periods. But in the next, we might talk about toxic masculinity and masculinity stereotypes in the media that do not help modern men be as they are and have emotions. That's, you know, something that might come up in the next episode. So I do encourage you to listen to my conversation with Meng. Here it is.
I'm super excited to have you on the podcast, and thank you so much for finding time. And I'm actually quite psyched that, you know, with all the bad things that happened this year, the kind of it also enabled us to speak remotely, which is why we're talking now.
Yeah, amazing. I'm super excited to be talking to you as well. I listened to some of your episodes. Wonderful conversations. I was really looking forward to this chat.
Oh, brilliant. That's awesome. That's awesome. So where do we start? I think that, you know, some of my questions, or kind of many of them, are about Thinks and your kind of your role there. Yeah. But in terms of your creativity and kind of your ideas around branding, creative direction, and being very bold, is that something that's started for you much earlier in life? Were there influences in your childhood or kind of early on that defined how you work as a creative?
That's a really interesting question, because I would say the answer is no directly, but perhaps I had that in me, but I didn't have a platform until I joined Thinks.
That's really interesting. So do you kind of, how would it manifest? Did you notice it before, or only kind of at things you were like, oh, there's this thing inside me and it's coming out, and it actually can come out?
Yeah, I think that just because I think it's the nature of the brand, the Thinks brand, and how it kind of has like controversy embedded in it, even though that's not what we wanted. But just because it's such a taboo topic, and we have to find a way to get the conversation started. And a lot of times creativity helped in doing that. And you kind of have to have something that's really bold to get people interested and start looking. This way you can start the conversation. So I think that really brought it out to me. And also just because all the things that we have to fight for, like to just like talk about normal things like period, I think that really brought it out for me.
So what was things like when you joined? Kind of what did it look like? What did it feel like? And when you joined, what were your kind of first things kind of to crack on with?
Yeah. So Thinks was founded in 2013, and I joined the company in 2015. So it's pretty early on, and it's been quite a few years. And when I first joined, actually, that was during a time where there was a lot of kind of a DTC startup boom, I would say. A lot of brands were coming out with not just a cool business idea, but also some missions to help the world. I was paying close attention to all of those, and I was in graduate school doing my master's in branding, and actually one of my classmates was working at Thinks. So that's how I jumped on the opportunity. I was like, oh, this brand I was paying attention to, I like it so much, super excited by the potential. So when they asked me to help with some graphic design or illustration project, I just jumped on board. And then I realized this is like something I really cared about and I wanted to help. So I joined the company and grew with the company, really, from this tiny little startup to where we are now. I was like employee number 5. It was like a really tiny startup. But it was certainly everyone working really hard. Your typical startup life, like working super hard, wearing multiple hats, doing just everything you can to help this business take off. And for us, it was so interesting because it was so new. This really did not exist. And so it took a lot for us to just communicate to people what this is and how it works. And even for something like how to communicate how much period it absorbs is like a huge task. I remember that was like one of the first tasks I got when I joined the company, is to figure out a way to tell people, you know, how much period this underwear absorbs, because people don't know, like nobody knows how much they bleed when they're on their period. And, you know, the industry standard was just like millimeters, and, you know, one, people don't know what millimeters are. And also, it's hard to calculate in your head. And so at the time I was like, what do people use? Most people in the States use tampons. So let's use tampons to calculate. Right. So at that time we were like, okay, we can say this holds. We just did some conversion and we're like, okay, our product holds 2 tampons, 3 tampons. And that way it helps people to associate and understand what are the level of absorbency that they need. And that was just like completely new. And we invented that and everyone does that now. And now we also have like a tool to help people convert, whether you use tampons or pads or cups or, I don't know, teaspoons, you can find out on the website. And, you know, that's how it started.
That's really interesting because mm-hmm. like you're using it still now. And I know, like I was doing the conversion charts as well. It's just so great. Funny. Yeah. Because you're like it's kind of quite interesting in itself. It's like, oh, so that's how much it is. That's interesting. Because yeah, you're learning as you do it.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I've never measured in millimeters either.
Yeah, that's not something that people do normally.
So tell me as well, so kind of the period underwear market kind of in 2015 when you joined, what was it like? Was there anybody else apart from Thinks? And because like now, you know, one thing is probably now to cut through the buzz and the noise of like so many brands, mm-hmm. but how do you convince your customers first to make a choice where probably kind of 6 years ago, mm-hmm. the sustainable approach to period wear wasn't very mainstream yet?
Yeah, exactly. Back when I joined, there really wasn't anything. Thinks was first to market, and it was really hard. Like people didn't understand, and I also personally had, before I joined Thinks, I really had no interest in the sector. And you know, it's period is something that you just take care of when it happens. You go to the supermarket, you grab a few products, and you go on with your life, and you don't really think twice about it. Like you would never have any emotional attachment to any of these brands in the supermarket. And I remember personally shopping at the supermarkets, looking at all these boxes, and I really hated them because I came from design background, and you know, we have like visual standards, and I see all those you know, pinks and purples and the swirls, and they put a lot of like flowers and butterflies. I remember there was like a pearl collection, you know, and like I was just like, who is making all these decisions about making all these like super decorative things because it's a woman's product? And I just remember hating that aesthetic so much. And later on, you know, when I had the opportunity to reinvent a visual language for a menstrual product or a feminine hygiene product, I really remember that. And I was like, we're not doing that. Like, we're definitely doing something that's like bold and real and relatable. None of those like ladies like pearls kind of situation.
No butterflies inside.
Yeah, no. Like I did some digging, like I did some research. I was like, why are people putting all those things in there? And I remember reading some article talking about how people thought women really needed distraction because it's such like an unpleasant experience to have a period. So they put all those things so they can get distracted. Women can get distracted and not think about the period. And I was just really shocked, and I was like, I don't know, I feel like probably some men executive makes that decision, and I just knew that I wanted to change that.
Yeah, that's awesome. And like you say, even if you look at the market now, of course, like it's changed kind of globally, but if you go to your like local corner shop, it's still some sort of funeral lilies on the packet.
Definitely, you still see them. Everyone had curves. Everyone had these like meaningless, like really curvy situation. Like that's, yeah, you still see them around.
That's so true. Yeah. Yeah, God, I hope it moves on completely at one point. But back to things.
Yeah.
Because you guys are doing great stuff. So for women who don't know of things, for dudes who have no idea what things is, sorry guys, I'm just assuming.
Yeah, we should probably introduce it a little bit. Like, what is this thing that we're talking about? I'm happy to give a little bit of introduction and not turn this into an ad.
Yeah, why don't you just explain what it is?
Yeah,
and exactly. Then as a product, and then from the brand perspective,
sure.
What does it look and feel like as a brand? That'd be super useful.
Yeah, sounds good. So Thinx is period underwear. So it's underwear that absorbs your period, meaning you can, when you're on your period, you can just wear Thinx underwear and instead of pads and tampons and not worry about leaks. It is also super comfortable, feels like normal underwear. It's also extremely sustainable because you can reuse it again and again. So that's the product. And the brand, we're actually, Thinx Inc. is a family of multiple brands, 3 to 4 brands now. Other than the Thinx brand, which is period underwear, we also have Thinx Between, which is for younger periods, so for teens and twins specifically, because their bodies are different. And we also have Speaks by Thinx, which is a underwear for light to moderate bladder leaks. So really, we're building a portfolio of brands that supports bodies from puberty to post-menopause. So Thinx Inc. as a company and Thinx as a brand, I would say is extremely innovative. We have created something from non-existence and brought it to market and found really interesting ways to communicate that as well. So we're really on the mission to continue to be a very innovative leader in the industry of menstruation and incontinence. And we're really trying to bring the most comfortable and most sustainable products to our community.
And tell me, how does the kind of, how can branding start a conversation, or how can it help the product, and who do you have in mind when designing? For either of the brands.
Yeah, I think the design and creative definitely has a really big role to play, especially when it comes to a topic that is more like a taboo or something that people don't want to talk about, because it really is a way to get people engaged and interested. And a lot of times humor also helps. Like we use a lot of humor in our visual to get people to start looking. And then you have the, once you get their attention, then you have the opportunity to tell them what this is about and do a little bit of education. So when we're designing, we're really thinking about the entire community that we're talking to. So people who have a period and people who would use our product. And by people, I mean, it's like everyone, and we're a really inclusive brand. And from very early on, we realized that not everyone who has a period is a woman. So we have included all kinds of people. And we keep that in mind, whether we're doing a piece of brand communication or if we're designing a product. Like, for example, very early on, like super early stage, Think's product had like really floral lace on it. Then we realized, you know, not everyone wants super feminine floral lace. So we made sure we had something that's more neutral, can speak to a wider audience, and appeal to people of different aesthetics. So we always had something that is more more neutral and more classic from a product standpoint. And we don't do extremely, you know, the stereotypical feminine lingerie kind of feeling stuff.
That's actually a very interesting point that you make. And I was thinking about kind of how to refer to the product as well before we were recording, because I know that it's, I think I saw a piece of your content that I really liked, and it said something about a bleeding human.
Yeah.
So it's either a human or it's a person. And tell me about the campaign, because it kind of, it links really well here. In one of your campaigns, you featured men. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
Tell the listeners about this campaign. Yeah, what was it about? How was it received? And where did the idea come from?
When we first did that campaign, I think it was 2016 or something like that. We did talk about women and periods, and later, like as mentioned, we realized not everyone who has a period is a woman. So we decided to develop a product that is very gender neutral, basically. That's our boy short product. And that works for the community who doesn't identify as women or is non-binary and still have a period and use the product. So it definitely is controversial. But we were glad that we did it, and we definitely had our community in mind when we did that product. And I think in the long run, it was definitely a positive impact we were the first brand that did that, and it's definitely had a really positive impact on culture and for our brand.
And that's interesting, because I think at this, you know, right at the start of a conversation, you mentioned about the campaigns and how, although you may not plan that, they do end up being controversial because they speak of periods in a way that's not been talked about before. And how do you, and you have such broad audiences and so many communities that, where periods can be mean different things, can be more or less taboo as well. How do you design campaigns that take kind of everybody into consideration? And what are the taboos that you think are the most important to start kind of breaking down now?
I think period as a taboo, it's still exists. Like, I wish I could say it doesn't exist anymore, because we've been fighting this for 5 years, but it still exists. And when we are designing our campaigns, we don't specifically try to say that we're trying to break the period taboo or like really focus on that. We kind of take the approach of just pretend that it's not taboo anymore, because it shouldn't be. Like, we just treat it as normal. and as something that it's so natural for people to see, and people will need this product and they will see it and then they get the message and they know what they're looking for. And I think the thing is, like, just by, it's like show not tell, right? It's like by just advertising it in a way that you advertise any other product, the action itself is breaking the taboo. It's not to, you know, wave a big flag and say we're breaking the peer taboo. It's to just, like, by doing it. Like, for example, if we just launched a TV commercial, and in the commercial, mm-hmm. we just showed three different human going through, you know, period experiences, like leaking. Most people who have a period has leaking experiences, and we leak on our bed, and we leak on our underwear, and we leak on our couch, and we have to deal with aftermath. Of course, we have to find a way to do it, like, very tastefully and still look beautiful and not, like, in any way that is, like, gross or anything. But it's just, like, showing that those things happen, and you just take care of it. It's showing it happens before you have things. But once you have things, hopefully that does not happen anymore. But, like, the part about, like, showing that it happens, sometimes just, like, people don't like that, because it's the exact topic of it being a taboo. It's like people do not want to accept the fact that it happens to half of the world's population. Period exists, and sometimes you leak, and, like, it happens. Hopefully with things you don't leak anymore, but some people really have an issue with seeing those things. Like, we
tell me, so whenever you launch campaigns, do you get negative feedback as well?
Exactly.
Do you have those people coming to you?
I think that's one of the most interesting.
And does it surprise you? Is it?
It is, but not like the surprise comes in, like, wow, people still think this way. But it's also at the same time not surprising, because we do live in this society. So, like, for example, I mentioned the campaign that we ran, right? And then, like, we would get, just last week, we got an email from someone named, I don't know, Paul, I think it's a man's name, and he was extremely disturbed by the fact that he's seeing period leaks on TV. And he wrote in pretty angry, told us that we were really immature by showing this type of stuff on TV, and he wanted us to stop running our ads. And, you know, we're not stopping running these ads, Paul, unfortunately, because, you know, people have periods, and someone who, you know, someone in your life could probably use this product, so you don't have to see real leaks in life. So, like, I'm constantly surprised by all these, like, angry emails from men and women talking about how they don't want to see it on TV because they feel it's, like, insulting or shameful or just not tasteful or immature. So that's, like, that's what, when we're like, you know, this is still taboo and we're still doing what we do until people can completely normalize that. Like, we don't intentionally create things to provoke people, but because of the nature of the product and how it's still perceived in society, sometimes it comes off as controversial where it shouldn't be. Like, we don't want it to be controversial. We just want it to be normal.
Maybe you should send Paul some samples so that he can come to terms with it.
But, like, I would say it's definitely changing, though. I've definitely seen a lot of progress since 2015. Like, I don't want this whole thing to sound, like, very negative, because even though the taboo is still there, but I have definitely seen so much progress. Like, now a lot of TV shows or, like, just in pop culture, so many more people are openly talking about periods and incontinence, and there's always positive reactions as well. Like, for every, you know, negative feedback we get, we probably get, like, 5 more positive feedbacks. We have this really amazing customer experience team who make sure that the entire company is seeing what people are saying about our products, negative or positive. So every day we also get a lot of emails telling us how this product have changed people's lives. Like, you really don't get that from, like, I don't know, like a tampon brand. Like I would never imagine myself writing to my like tampon or pad brands before things, you know, like telling them how, you know, like we get this, how these things change your life. For example, we have this nurse, she works in COVID ICU taking care of patients, and she has 12-hour shifts, and she writes to thank us for creating this product because it supported her on her heaviest days when she has like more important job to do than worrying about period leaks. And we get like this from teachers a lot. They don't get bathroom breaks and they rely on things to not have any issues with their period. And it's so, so interesting. It's like fascinating to me because sometimes we also get like super long thousand word essays from people telling us the most intimate and vulnerable stories of their lives and how our product had helped them. Because if you think about it, it's like, it's so hard to talk about your period without getting super personal and intimate about your body and your life, right? So these people write in and tell us these like, sometimes like really wonderful, sometimes it's traumatic, sometimes it's not that great situations that they're in, and how much in those very vulnerable moments this product had supported them to feel a little bit better about themselves. A lot of times they say it makes them feel like a human again, and that they can function and don't have to worry about this and just like feel better about themselves and have confidence. And that's so special. Like that's like one of the most special things about working, I think, is to have that emotional connection with our community and people who use our product. This would never happen with any of the you know, previous menstrual hygiene brands. And even with our competitors, I just think the like emotional bound of how we really develop this brand and the product for our community is something that is unique to this brand.
I think that sounds just so rewarding to have those stories.
Yeah, and that's what keeps us going, you know? Like every time we're like, okay, this is hard, like all these like issues and controversies, but at the same time we're like, we have to do this for our community.
Yeah, totally. And like you say, it's really interesting that there's sometimes, you know, it can be a personal choice of just, I don't know, fit, etc. But sometimes it's essential, whether it's very shift works, for example, as well. Yeah. And then I had the personal challenge because I ran long distances. And it's just always been so, like, if I run on my period, I'd always first have to figure out how am I doing it. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to run for about 3 hours.
Oh, wow.
Like, things are not going to work. Like, they're going to, you know, like, things are going to go wrong. Things are going to leak, etc. And it's pained me because I want to just get up and run hard, you know. That's kind of, you know, I want to be focused on that. And,
I think that takes. Sorry, yeah. What were you going to say?
No, go on, go on.
Yeah, I was just going to, you know, like, talk about that because, like, you are a human who has a lifestyle that you enjoy, right? Like, you like running. You don't want to stop running when you're on your period. So, you know, that's why we really think about this whole business as, like, almost like a period lifestyle. Like, we want to create solutions that works for different kind of life situations. And we actually launched a activewear collection back in January. I saw that you created some really wonderful illustrations inspired by the campaign.
Oh, yeah.
We actually shared that on social. That's really wonderful. So that collection has things like leggings or leotards, biking shorts, and running shorts. So for people who want to stay active on their period, they can. They don't have to worry about leaks or plan their exercise around their period because they shouldn't be.
No, that's the thing. That's kind of exactly the point, that you don't want to feel horrible. Well, you might feel horrible anyway if you're on your period, but you don't want to be adding to it, like, at all. You want something that kind of you forget about. But also, I think there's you know, there's a thing about if you're targeting consumers who also have good taste or who have certain aesthetics, you want to satisfy them with your designs as well. And I think that's where, you know, activewear comes. And I was thinking about it, it must have been terribly challenging because you need to design something that works, that, that's not only activewear, but it's also period activewear. And it's like, how the hell do you make that work?
Yeah, so it's like we have a really brilliant in-house product design team. They really put a lot of like engineering into making products like this. We do a lot of testing to make sure like the fit and the absorbency works for people. So a lot of thoughts went into that. And also, you know, when we're talking about, we're just talking about like campaigns and like concepts like that, we really try to have tell that story and have it come through about like staying active, and especially now in, you know, COVID. And I think for that campaign, we actually is our first outdoor campaign, because we normally do a lot of in studio or interior shoots because, you know, we are a very internal brand. Like we have all these like principles like that we came up with for our visuals. It's really interesting. And one of them is like, has to do with like looking inward, because like period is extremely personal and it's about like your internal feelings and having a good relationship with your bodies. So a lot of our visuals actually is inside a room, and we kind of use that as like an extension of a person's existence in the world. And you will see like a person in a room surrounded by her personal items, and it's kind of like building the inside world of this person. But when we did the activewear campaign, we're like, oh my God, this is the first time we can actually be outside. So we got excited, and then we were thinking about, you know, what do people need to feel, you know, at this time. It was the beginning of the year. 2020 has finally passed. 2021 seems like a new year, new opportunity, and we want to stay extremely positive and bring that energy to people. So we shot with New York City in the background, the skyline of New York in the background, and we thought about, you know, how so many people were questioning if New York's going to be the same after COVID. And we just want to stay positive and show people that, you know, the spirit of the city is still there. People want to stay active. Everything still is hopeful. And at the same time, we like really mimics, like if you see the images, you will see the poses and the body gestures of the models are mimicking the architecture of the skyline of New York City, and stacked in a way that's very architectural and geometric. That's like another very things visual style as well that we do. So yeah, anyways, first time doing outdoor campaign made it very hopeful and active. And we received really positive feedback as well. We did have a differently abled model in there as well, because we wanted to make sure this is a product that works for all human beings.
And I think that's the important part as well, is the casting the models, because that's something that I noticed immediately. Where again, you just weren't conforming to what might have been.
We really wanted to stay on the real side. Like we take a look at our community and see who's using our product. We want to have representation of our real community in the campaigns.
That's I really, really love that. And tell me from kind of from that campaign and other ones as well. Of course, like your campaigns, you know, you said, you know, you have your first TV ad, your there's your website, kind of all the digital aspects, and of course all sorts of kind of social media content. How do you kind of, what comes first when you come up with a creative campaign, and how do you then make sure that it works across all the verticals, and is content amended or abridged for kind of certain media?
Yeah, so in terms of different media or a different channel, I think a really important thing is to just understand what works best for each channel, right? And then you can tailor your message or your story to that format. Because the most important thing, like the first thing that you think about when you create a campaign is just the story. Like, what is the message you're trying to convey? Who you're talking to, how you want them to feel when they see this, what is the experience that they're going to go through when they see this campaign? So a lot of times we do have to consider, you know, multiple touch points, understand what works, say, for social media is different than email, than a subway campaign. And once you understand what works for each channel, you can kind of just adjust. Like, for example, in 2017, we had this idea of bringing the period service to our community. Like, we really like to think about period as an experience and what we're providing as a service instead of just, you know, it's something that you buy and it's done. No, like, you have period several days a month, and you may have like, just adding that time dimension in there changes a lot of things. Like, you wanted to help people have an experience and instead of just having one touch point. So in 2017 we had this truck that went on tour basically in different cities in the United States. It was so fun. We get to meet different people in different cities, and they come to the truck and they could, it's a showroom basically. You can see the product, but there we also have a period specialist in there, and it's, the whole thing is completely branded. It's actually called PMS, period management service, and we wanted to just give a positive meaning to the word PMS, because a lot of times it's very negative. So we create that experience. You can come and you can talk to the period expert. You get to you get a little bit of edutainment. They tell you the history of menstrual innovation and how talk to you about your own period and recommend some solution based on your lifestyle or your period. And that may or may not be things, because it doesn't matter. Like, the most important thing is we want the customer to feel great about their body. So they do that. And we realize this is such a valuable experience for our customers. Everyone had really positive feedback. So we wanted to take that idea and make it across different channels. So we then build a digital tool on our website that replicated the experience, but it's even better because you can, you know, it's a step-by-step guide, and you get to go through a series of questions that helps you understand how much you period for how long. And, like, you know, like, a lot of times people don't think about it. Like, we just don't think about our period in that way. Once you are faced with those questions, then you kind of, like, do a check-in with yourself, your body. And, you know, in the end, we recommend some products for you, but we also calculate your environmental impact. For example, if you switch to things and stop using pads and tampons, you know, this is how much plastic you're saving from making that switch. So, like, that's like taking an experience that worked in the physical world and made it work for the digital world. Right. And then we also build on social campaigns. We also layer on top of it digital ads and marketing. So, like, this whole thing is surrounding the idea of creating an experience for our customers and help them feel better about their period and their own body. It doesn't really matter which platform it goes through, as long as you understand how the platform works. The idea is the most important thing. And we really want to look at it through an experiential point of view.
And when it comes to ideas, the simple question is, where do you get them from? The underlying question is, what's the role of customer feedback or community in bringing those next ideas for future campaigns?
Yeah, I really get a lot of ideas actually come from the community. Like I mentioned, we constantly are looking at customer feedbacks all the time, and they have so many brilliant ideas and stories, and sometimes we incorporate that into some of the ideas. And I personally also is very into art and history and culture, just observing what is happening in culture, what people are talking about, why are these things happening, And also I looked at art a lot, contemporary art and also the art history. And sometimes it would give me ideas, like I would say certain things and like start questioning it. And then like, for example, there's like, sometimes I would see like a sculpture, and it's like, there was like a certain type of poses that people used to do for like a goddess sculpture that is at the same time seductive, but then also conservative. And that's like purely creative for like the male gaze. And like, just that is like enough of an idea for me to start thinking about like, why is it that way? Can we do something different? How can we take this idea and have a subversive play on it, turn it on its head, and make it something that's more empowering for our community, and something that's also beautiful as well. So ideas definitely come from our community, and also from art and fashion, and just what's happening in pop culture.
That's really awesome. That's kind of such a big remit as well.
Yeah.
And to slowly start wrapping up our conversation, I was wondering as well, could you tell us what's next for Things as a brand, and kind of what you're kind of working on that you can tell us about, or what your ideas are, and what would you like to see next for the whole market of period menstruation products?
Yeah, for sure. Something that just happened this week, extremely exciting, is that we launched a new brand called Things for All. So it is like its name, bringing things to all people. So it's going to be sold in mass retail partners like Target and CVS in the States, and some soon to be available in other countries as well. They are specifically designed to be more accessible to our customers from both a price point and also from size range as well. So in doing this, we worked on this for an entire year. And in doing this, I was finally able to achieve my goal of improving the packaging look of the period, or sorry, menstrual hygiene or feminine care section in the supermarket. Because when you see it in the market, hopefully you will see something that's super bold and very contemporary, showing real body, real women. And it's just not apologetic about having a period. That's extremely exciting. For us, we've been wanting
that's
to do
huge
this.
Huge news, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's huge. We've been wanting to do this since the beginning, just making it like a third option right next to pads and tampons, so more people will have access to this and have a better period. That's like the biggest thing of the year, but we have some other cool products coming up too, but I think this is the biggest one, because really is to bring things to all.
And what do you think the market kind of could do as a whole?
Yeah, the market, I mean, just like keep normalizing period, right? Like mm-hmm. we can all talk about period as something that's completely normal, and not trying to like go around it, adjust to, you know, the so-called social norms and go around it. We just talk about it as is. I think it will help just break the taboo by normalizing it. And also just like think about, I think a lot of this industry is like people just do things in a certain way because that's how it's always done. And I really think, you know, Things as a brand took a really hard look at that and said, we're not going to do it that way because it didn't work. So let's create something new. And I think if more and more people start thinking about this, I think on the creative point of view, it's the same as like, why are, you know, women's products all looking like this? It doesn't have to. Like, what is a contemporary woman, and what does she need? And how about other people who need this product that are not women? Like, if everyone just put a little bit more thought into this, and start questioning what had traditionally been done and try to provide new solution that works better for today's people who need this product, I think the whole industry will be so much better.
Thank you so much, Meg. It's such a brilliant thought to finish on. I'm super excited for the kind of for the announcement and kind of for the new campaign. Mm-hmm. Really psyched about the activewear and kind of that's yes. picking up more as well.
Yeah, keep running.
Exactly. And I really hope that, like, everybody who listened, it's I hope it's been helpful just kind of from the product perspective for people who might have not tried things or that kind of period where yet, because it works.
Thank you so much for I feel like this really is like a giant ad.
that's the thing, you know, it's not meant to be.
Right.
But you're doing really cool things and the product works. So what the heck, you know.
Thank you so much for this opportunity. And I'm really, really appreciate the creative perspective that you're trying to show people, because a lot of times we put so much thought behind all of these and people may or may not notice. So I'm extremely proud of the work and I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about it.
We had such a good chat and a good laugh with Meg, and I know you could tell from our conversation that I really love what they do. I think it's very important. It's a new direction, not only in terms of the product and its visual aesthetic, but also super importantly, the conversation and educational piece around it is really vital. And I hope that there are more and more brands out there who'll do a great work like Things does in whatever their field they are. So thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate you being here. And, you know, if you're a loyal listener, I just really want to thank you for being around. We've kept going with the podcast all the way through the last year when things were super tough. And I've got to say that one of the things that kept me going was really just having you here and showing up for you with stories that can inspire us and make us feel part of a bigger community, even when we can't meet to face. We can't meet face to face right now. So thank you for being here. And that's all for today. And if you want to keep in touch with me between episodes, you can just give me a follow on Instagram @JustinaGreen. And I'll see you here next week. Bye for now.